D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Bridgestone Arena, Predators versus Bruins tonight. The NHL trade deadline is approaching tomorrow afternoon. And to help us all break it all down, the one and only Sportsnet NHL insider extraordinaire Elliot Freeman joins us on our phone line. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good, Adam. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I know you're a busy man. We appreciate the time. So earlier this week on 32 Thoughts, the podcast, you laid out the situation with Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly. On Stamkos specifically, you said that if the Predators were to undergo a complete sell-off, he would consider waiving his no-movement clause for certain contenders. What have you heard since then, and do you think the fact that the Predators have already made four trades, do you think that will compel Stamkos and O'Reilly to consider their options?
Okay. Adam, I hate to make bold pronouncements within 24 hours of the trade deadline because I freely admit things can change. On O'Reilly, I am still under the impression he does not want to be traded. The last I heard, that was still the case. And, of course, because the team has told him, even though he doesn't have anything written, I mean, everybody in Nashville knows this. I've been told that O'Reilly does not want to be traded. So until someone comes to me and tells me that it's different, I am sticking to that. There's been no lack of interest, but I am under the impression his position is he does not want to be dealt. Stamkos, as you mentioned, I laid it out. I knew I was coming on today. I checked around a couple hours ago, and a couple hours ago I was told that there's nothing there. Again, things can always change, but I actually did homework here, Adam, and that is what I was told in both those cases. I will say this, guys. I will say this. You guys are there. You guys know. I watched that Andrew Brunette postgame after the game in Columbus the other night. Those guys were rattled. Like, you could tell the whole way that played out, those guys were rattled.
Elliot, how would a potential Steven Stamkos deal work? He has an $8 million cap hit. The Predators can retain up to $4 million of that cap hit. Because of the new rules, you can't pull off one of those double salary retention trades right now. Yeah. So considering the reported list of preferred destinations, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Dallas, those teams are not flush in cap space. So I'm just wondering what that deal would look like if Stamkos were to decide between now and tomorrow afternoon that he would want to go somewhere.
It's complicated. I mean, there's no question about that. It's totally complicated. My story that I just put out, the link was broken and now it appears to be fixed. So I just got to put that out there. It's very complicated. There's no question about that. And that's why I think more likely than not, if Stamkos does get moved, it's going to be a summer or off-season deal. It's very hard to do. There's not a lot of teams without cap room. Right now, in most cases, Nashville would have to take a contract back. They would want to be paid for taking that contract back. There's no doubt about it. Like, one of the teams that Pierre reported was Dallas. As long as they have Jason Robertson there and are planning to sign him, there's no way they can add Stamkos' contract there. It just doesn't work. You know, Minnesota, they're in a tight cap spot, and they've got to deal with a Quinn Hughes extension, potentially. It makes it very hard for them. So, you know, I think other teams have asked about it. I think that, you know, they want to know, would Stamkos expand his horizons? But it's a very complicated deal to pull off in season. Which is why I think if it does happen, it's more likely it happens after the season.
By the way, the trade that Elliot broke a little bit ago involving the Predators and Stars is now official. The Predators have traded Michael Bunting to the Stars for a 2026 third-round draft pick via the Seattle Kraken. Elliot, in that story you were referencing, which is now functional on sportsnet.ca, you did say, quote, "I do believe there are serious efforts to find Jonathan Marchessault a new home." I remember in one of your 32 Thoughts columns a few weeks ago, you said that Marchessault would prefer to be traded somewhere with good minor hockey infrastructure for his children. What does that mean for his market, and what are the chances he is moved by tomorrow?
I think that, look, I think they're trying. I don't know how likely it is. It's the same challenge, Adam. You know, Marchessault is, what, 3 more years at 5.25? Like, it's not an interesting thing to do in season. It's not an easy thing to do in season. It's hard. So I think that's probably the biggest issue. It's longer than Stamkos. It's less money, but it's longer than Stamkos. And I just think it's hard at this point in time. You know, Marchessault, one of the things, he's got kids who are very avid players. And, you know, he's not the only NHL player that's ever said this to me. There was another guy, and I won't say who it was, but he told me that as he got older and he started bouncing around the league a little bit, he said that he picked places to go. He had a really good young player, and he would say, like, okay, in some of these non-obvious places, you know, what's your minor hockey like? My son's a good player. He's competitive. Is he going to be able to be in a situation where he can play high-quality games? So that does happen from time to time, but I think it's a really difficult thing to pull off in season.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, the Predators have now made 4 trades.
Yeah.
And around the league, it looks pretty much the consensus that it is more or less a seller's market. So based on that, a third rounder for Bunting, a fifth rounder for Blankenberg, a second for McCarron, a third for Cole Smith. How would you say that's fair value for those 4 players, all unrestricted free agents at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think so. I think that those are very, like, you know, the one thing right now, Willie, is that there's a lot of teams that are in the playoffs who traded away first round picks. I think if you look at it this year, I think there are 6 or 7 teams that are in the playoffs right now that don't have a first rounder. So it's really hard in that particular case to get people to get them, because so many of them are already gone to teams that wouldn't be interested in trading them away because they're using them to rebuild. So that's a challenge. Like a second round pick for McCarron is very good. A third round pick for Cole Smith is good. Actually, I like that fit for Vegas. A third round pick for Bunting is good. I mean, he's been traded at, what, 3 or 4 consecutive trade deadlines now. Like, that's good value. It's a bit of a lottery ticket. Like, the percentages of that player, you know, really being anything massive are not large, but you want lottery picks. The more you have, I mean, you want lottery tickets. The more you have, the better you can do. But I think it also is, you know, sending a message about where Nashville is. You know, Barry Trotz has made it very clear to you and everybody else he wants to get younger. And not only is this going to give an opportunity for some other players to finish the year at the NHL level, but it's just going to fill up their organization with prospects that they're going to try. I think it's very reasonable. Like, I think it's been hard on your veteran players. Like I said, like the way that happened the other night, it's not something that anybody wants, but it threw a shockwave through your team. But I think it fits what the plan is for the organization.
Would you say, with them all being unrestricted, and they have all, whether on the record, off the record, they have enjoyed their experience, particularly McCarron and Smith, who have been here the longest. Do you think there's any, it doesn't seem like it happens very much in the league, but they will be on the market in the summer. Of course, it'll be a different GM, so he might have a completely different perspective. But could you rule out any, maybe one of them ending up coming back on a new contract?
I never rule out anybody going back to Nashville. Never. I would never do that. And, I mean, the team would have to want to do it too, right? Like, you know, McCarron is like the guy. Like I just heard McCarron and the Predators, there was just a gap in what the two sides were looking for. And, you know, one of the things that's going to be interesting in this league now, Willie, is with the cap going up, It's not just like the guys at the top of the food chain that are affected. Now the $8 million players, they want $10 million. And McCarron's a $1 million player, and he was going to get a raise. But maybe, you know, the Predators probably want him to come in around $2.5 million, and he might be a $4 million player. And I think all these teams are getting used to this, and all these players are like, hey, there's more money out there now. I want it. And who can blame them? So it's got to go both ways. The Predators got to want to do it too. But, you know, Willie, like I've told you many times, like that you guys are a destination, especially when things are going well. And I never rule out anybody who's played in Nashville wanting to go back.
I'm sure that you are focused 99% on the player movement here. Have you picked up any vibes on what they're? We had the question earlier today about, do we have any sense of whether the Predators are leaning towards any type of new general manager? Have you heard anything along those lines?
I have heard that you guys have like a ton of requests out there for permission. I don't think there's anything imminent. I really don't. I would be surprised, but. Like someone, this is something I'm going to work. As you said, I'm focused on the deadline. But, you know, one of the things as I got back from the Olympics and started calling around, you know, one of the things that people were telling me is you guys have a lot of requests out there to speak to people. Some, and I was told some of them are obvious and some of them are not very obvious.
Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet.
Let me just say, I hate you guys. I usually try to mail it in March, and now I'm going to have to work.
Well, we appreciate all of your hard work. Elliot, if Jason Dickinson and Nick Waugh are worth conditional first-round picks, what does that mean for Eric Halla?
The big challenge is there's a bunch of centers out there. Like I really like Eric. I'm a big fan. And I love the way he played at the Olympics. Like you guys know him. You know his nickname is Hall of Famer, right?
And yes, we do.
It's because and I love his confidence. I've always loved his confidence. Like I'll tell you that it was something funny after they won the bronze medal, he was doing a whole bunch of interviews and. He was only like halfway down the line. And finally he looks at a bunch of us who are still standing there. He goes, guys, I've done 17 of these. I'm going to celebrate. And he just started walking away and we were all laughing. Like it was so him. Like the challenge is that there's guys like Halla, there's Teddy Bluger in Vancouver who was playing at the Olympics for Latvia. Like all these players are there, right? They're all there. And the question simply becomes, who do you pick? And I think that he's very much in that Dickinson area, but somebody's got to want to make that deal. I think that's kind of, I think the Oilers targeted Dickinson because he's a guy who's satisfied playing like a deeper role, a bottom six role. Edmonton's had trouble with that. He's a really good shutdown player. Especially analytically, like he was a fit for them. So I do think there's the possibility of Halla getting you a strong rental return, but there's got to be somebody who says, that's my guy.
I want to ask you about a couple of other teams, Elliot, one team in the Central Division, the St. Louis Blues. You reported earlier today that Colton Parayko nixed a trade to the Buffalo Sabres, and there are a ton of Blues players who could be available. Parayko, Robert Thomas, Justin Faulk, Jordan Kyrou, Braden Schenn, even Jordan Binnington. How much movement do you expect in St. Louis before tomorrow?
I think they're definitely trying. Like, you know, the one thing I believe, Adam, is, you know, we know that they talked to Buffalo about Thomas, and we know that they talked to Buffalo about Parayko, and the Parayko was vetoed, and I'm not really exactly sure what happened with Thomas. I just don't think it ever got over the finish line. But some people have told me they've had other deals with some of these players that have either been vetoed or the players have said, look, we're not going there. So I think that's the challenge is you've got to do both a trade you like and the player. It's a big hoop. It's two big hoops to jump through. You got to make the trade you like and the players who have control over all or some situations, they got to be willing to agree. It's not for lack of trying. Like, Adam, they are really out there trying. They want to make changes. It's just a matter of can they achieve both those things?
on the flip side, the Buffalo Sabres, that is a fan base starving for the playoffs. It's been a decade and a half. Now that they've missed out on Parayko and I suppose Robert Thomas, where could the Sabres turn now?
That's a good question. I wondered on the blue line if they will look at an old friend, Rasmus Ristolainen, who plays in Philadelphia. He was a Sabre. They traded him to Philly years ago, and Ristolainen's played very well and has the reputation of being an outstanding teammate also. So I've wondered about that. Center, I'm not as certain. I kind of wondered if they'd take a run at Trocheck, and we'll see where that goes. But Trocheck is a guy, he's got a bunch of teams on his no trade, but they were all West teams. Like he let like the Kings and Utah and a couple other teams know out there that were interested that he wasn't going out there. So I kind of wonder if Buffalo, he can block Buffalo, less of a chance. And it seems obvious to me that the Sabres would at least try.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, has been our guest on D-Maze. Ving and Adonik. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season at 5 o'clock. And he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, I know you're a very busy man right now. Thank you for the time. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot Freeman had to say about the Predators ahead of the NHL trade deadline. You can as well. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.